You're listening to Matt Loves Cameras. Film cameras. Instant cameras.
And everything analog photography related.
In this episode of Matt Loves Cameras, I talk about the Frugal Film Project and how I took my Olympus Stylus Epic to China in March 2024. I've been having problems with the Stylus Epic with underexposed photos, but did I take some bangers in China or not? Keep listening and find out. I'm Matt Murray, and this is Matt Loves Cameras. Hello, my friends. How are you? I hope you are well, wherever you are all around the world. Welcome to another episode of Matt Loves Cameras, episode 83 of Matt Loves Cameras. Wow, only 17 left after this one to get to the magical 100 number. I'm not sure what happens when I get to episode 100. Maybe I get, you know, film photography, god, podcaster status, like Mark Gutterman. I'm not sure. Today, I will be discussing my March roll of film for the Frugal Film Project. Of course, in 2024, I have roared back into the Frugal Film Project. I first did it in 2019. I had a couple of half attempts to do it again in other years, but I'm trying to complete it again this year for 2024. And of course, my camera of choice is the Olympus Stylus Epic, also known as the Mew 2, which is, yeah, a pretty pricey camera, but I nabbed one years ago from the Film Photography Project Store in New Jersey. For $69 US, and my cheap film is Kodak Color Plus, which I must say is my favorite Kodak film probably for the last, I don't know, 18 months, 2 years. Absolutely love Color Plus, and it was very cheap here in Australia. It was around, for a long while, it was about $10 Australian a box, which is around $6.50 US. Then they put it up to like $12, and then I see that Kmart, which is a retailer here in Australia that sells it, it's now up to $19 in Kmart. So, you know, in the last year, it's pretty much doubled in price here in Australia. So luckily, I got a batch of it from Iroha's lab in Melbourne. They were doing a fantastic deal where you buy a roll of film and you get the processing, the Devon scan for free. So I got a fantastic deal with them. And so that is what I'm doing for this year's Frugal Film Project. I'm doing the Stylus Epic with Color Plus and getting it dev'd by Iroha's lab in Melbourne. Now, if you'd like to see my January and February results, you can head over. Well, there's two places you can head over. You can either go to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/MattLovesCameras, or you can also have a look at my Substack, mattlovescameras.substack.com. Of course, my Substack these days is kind of my blog where I post, you know, film photos, digital photos, little travel stories, and I am posting an entry on my Substack once a month with all of my Frugal Film Project results. And of course, at the end of every sort of little Substack about the summary for that month, I also put a link to the video on YouTube. So Substack's probably the best place to start if you want to have a look. And certainly if you'd like to play along and look at these photos as I'm describing them in this episode, that's where you need to go. mattlovescameras.substack.com. And the article you're looking for is called Kodak Color Plus in China. Now, if you're listening to this sometime after it's come out, at the top of my Substack, you'll see a little heading on the navigation, Frugal Film 2024. Click on that and you'll be able to see all of my sort of summaries of how I've been getting on this year with the project. Okay, so I'm going to talk you through 10 photos, just 10, and I'll sort of tell you little stories along the way as well. Hopefully they'll be entertaining, although I can't promise you that, but I'm hoping they are, you know, mildly entertaining. So maybe if you're on a long drive or a long walk, you know, maybe you won't fall asleep. That's always a bonus. Before I start describing the photos, I'll tell you how I came to end up in China. You know, if you said to me 12 months ago, hey, you'll be going to China in 2024, I never would have believed you. I have been to China once before. That was in 1997. I was a I was a very handsome young man back then. And my dad saw a very cheap sort of package deal in the newspaper back then. And my dad, my mum and me, we went to China for just over a week, I think it was, in 1997. It certainly was very different back then. I think I kind of preferred it back then. It was much more more of a developing country. You saw a lot of old sort of architecture and old style sort of houses where people lived and markets and stuff like that. The China of 2024 is very different. It's been modernized. Everyone does everything on their mobile phones, their smartphones these days. A lot of people don't even use cash, and all of the housing is all very modern. So, yeah, I think it has really very rapidly modernized in the last, 25 years, 27 years since I was last there. And I never really had a desire to go back to China, to be honest. I kind of enjoyed it the first time I went, but it's not really high on my list of destinations. Of course, you know from this podcast that I love Japan. However, after I got back from Japan last November on my little solo photography trip, I rang my mum up and I was chatting to her and she said, "Oh, your father's going to China." And I was like, "What? What are you talking about? He's going to China?" And she said, "Oh, well, my Uncle Mervyn is 80. It's my dad's older brother. My dad, who's 78, and my nephew, who is 23, they saw a cheap deal to China for March 2024. And they all signed up and they were going to China together. And I was kind of a little bit miffed, actually, because I sort of said to my mum, "Oh, great, I'll have a chat to Dad. I'd like to come along." And she said, "Oh, no, he's already booked it." And I'm like, "Oh, man," like they didn't even ask me if I wanted to come. So I felt like a real tag along at this stage. I think they were a bit sheepish, though, when I said I wanted to come. I think they were feeling a bit like, "Oh, gosh, why didn't we ask Matt Loves Cameras?" But long story short, I got in on the trip. It cost about $500 roughly for the base price of the trip. That was flights from Sydney to China. That was all of the accommodation costs, some meals, like most of the breakfasts, I think, and maybe one lunch and one dinner. So it was pretty good. In terms of cost, it was really something, like very much similar to the 1997 trip. It was a really good offer and, the chance to go see some really cool stuff for not very much money. So as the trip approached, I must say my enthusiasm for it kind of waned a little bit. My Uncle Mervyn he's never been to China before. He's been to Hong Kong back in the old days, but he's never actually been to mainland China. My nephew Harrison, he'd never been to China. So they were like really gung-ho into it and really looking forward to it. I kind of was, but then my dad just didn't seem that interested. I think he was facing a few health challenges. So I think he was worried about leaving my mom. And yeah, he just wasn't really into it. Every time I sort of tried to talk to him about China, and he wasn't that enthusiastic. And so my enthusiasm for the whole trip kind of waned a little bit. I wasn't feeling it. And I kind of thinking as well, oh man, like, it's $500, but by the time we add spending money, it's probably going to be like, and optional trips and stuff like that, it's probably going to be like $1,000, and I'd saved up some money selling some cameras and I was going to go back to Japan in 2024. And now I've just used this money to go to China and I don't really like China. So it's kind of in this spiral of why have I done this? I can't get out of it now. But then I thought, no, you're being silly. Like the whole reason you're going, where you're going, China is irrelevant. The whole reason you're going is because you want to spend time with your dad, your uncle and your nephew. It's a boys' trip. That's why you're going. And so I sort of made my peace with it and China, not my number one place to go. However, we're going to have a good time. Let's just get on with it. So it was a very long trip to China because it was such a cheap deal. It was out of Sydney. Sydney is like 1 hour plane flight to the south of where we live. So we basically had to go 1 hour south of where we live and then get in the plane and then fly back over where we live in Brisbane many hours later. And we ended up on the island of Hainan, which is an island off the southern coast of China. It's a Chinese island. And then we were in the airport there for for like 6 hours or something. And then we got on a plane to Beijing, and all up, it was probably just over 24 hours traveling until we got to Beijing, which is crazy because if you got on a direct flight from Brisbane to Beijing, it's like 11 hours or something. But somehow because of this cheap trip, we ended up on this massive kind of, huge journey. And so we were pretty knackered by the time we got there. the hotel in Beijing. It was right near the airport. It was pretty good. You know, it's a bit, a little bit rough around the edges. If you look too carefully at the cupboards or anything, it was a bit like, this needs to be repaired or whatever. But generally, it was a fairly modern hotel. It was a massive like hot tub in the like a stone hot tub in the room as well. I was roommating with my nephew Harrison, and so yeah, he had his swimmers. I didn't take my swimmers, so I had to wear my boxer shorts in the tub and try and dry them out. That wasn't too much fun, but yeah, it was a lot of fun. Sort of, you know, looking around the hotel and having beers nearby and all that kind of stuff. And the first night out, we went to the supermarket to have a look around, and we bought all these crazy foods. I must say that the food selection in China compared to Japan is pretty woeful. That the chocolate is really bad. Just the range of drinks and stuff is nowhere near as good as Japan. And the prices, like, China's actually quite expensive compared to Japan, say. It's probably almost on a par with Australia for how much things cost when you go into supermarkets and restaurants and stuff. Obviously, if you're, you know, going to local neighborhood street markets and stuff, then it's going to be a lot cheaper. But, you know, restaurants and supermarkets are not that cheap. And the first night we went to this really cool restaurant. It was where they did Peking duck. And so we ordered a Peking duck. We ordered, you know, this kind of lemon chicken, and all this food come out and this soup come out, this like blue soup. But the food on the first night was absolutely amazing. It was incredible. And I was just blown away. I was like, wow, if the food is like this on the rest of the trip, I'm going to love this trip. The food is going to be fantastic. Unfortunately, that was probably the best meal the entire trip. So nothing quite matched the heights of that first night restaurant. But still, it was a really fantastic introduction to being back in China. Now, the next day, we had a big day of sightseeing. I was a little bit worried with my Stylus Epic having the Color Plus, because Color Plus is only ISO 200 film. But it was beautiful and bright and sunny. And so now, finally, I will start talking through the photos. The first one was I think it was the second day we were in Beijing. I can't even remember anymore. All the days kind of go into one. But we went to this kind of, it was actually by a theme park. And we didn't go to the theme park, sadly. But outside the theme park, there was just like this big sort of building with an auditorium in, like a theater. And one of the optional trips on the Beijing package deal, tripper deal, was some kind of like a stage show, you know, telling you about the history of China with acrobats and dancers and singers and opera singers and stuff. And my nephew and I, we weren't feeling it. We were like, yeah, no, we don't really want to spend extra money. I think it was like, I don't know, about $50 to go. And we're like, nah, we want to just go for a walk around the neighborhood. It's a beautiful sunny day. My dad and my uncle went. They loved it. They raved about it. But no, we saved our money and went for a nice walk. And the first two pictures just outside this sort of big area with the theme park and the auditorium. And it was like a lovely big sort of paved area. There were lots of Chinese families playing ball, riding bikes on rollerblades. And I just had a ball here. It was beautiful and sunny, getting a nice bit of sun. And the first image here are these lanterns. I think they're like, I want to say they're paper lanterns, but because of the weather and the rain, they can't possibly be paper. Otherwise, they would just like disintegrate. So maybe they're plastic lanterns. I don't know what they are, but there's these beautiful plastic kind of, or red lanterns, shall we say. And there's dozens of them in this tree. And they just look absolutely fantastic on Kodak Color Plus. You know, the reds have turned to kind of a reddy orange. And there's a very pale blue sky in the background. So yeah, I really love that image. I took that on multiple cameras. And the next image is just sort of describing the scene I told you about, where there's a couple of people there playing ball and they've got their bike behind them. And I got quite a few other pictures on my digital cameras of people, you know, rollerblading and stuff like that. So if you'd like to see some images taken in this location, make sure you check out my video, which is called "Which Fujifilm X100 6JPEG is Best?" And I have 100 images from the Fujifilm X100 6 that I took in China. And I show you them all with 5 different film simulations. Of course, these are in-camera Fujifilm film simulations. Real Ace, Pro Neg High, Classic Neg, Nostalgic Neg, and Classic Chrome. So each image, I show you each image in each of those film sims. And there's quite a few images from this particular location. So yeah, if you're a fan of compact digital cameras, make sure sure you check that out. The next two images were from the Forbidden City. Now, the Forbidden City, of course, is where the emperors of China lived. You know, going back hundreds of years, they were the only people who were allowed. You know, the emperor of China and the concubines and all the servants and stuff and the courtiers. You know, these were a very tiny percentage of people in China were allowed inside the Forbidden City, hence its name, the Forbidden City. But of course, these days, any old person can just line up and go in. And, you know, it's kind of, I mean, it's kind of historic and it's kind of interesting and fascinating to be inside the Forbidden City. And yet at the same time, it's kind of boring. It's just a whole load of Chinese buildings, you know, with the red walls and the orange roofs, and there's a few dragon statues and, you know, the cobblestones and a couple of bridges. That's it. Like, there's really not much to see. My understanding is that when the communists fought the Kuomintang, the nationalists, in the Chinese sort of civil war in the 1940s, the Kuomintang took all of the treasures from the Forbidden City and they packed up and went to Taiwan. And so if you want to see the Forbidden City treasures, you actually have to go to Taipei in Taiwan and see them there. And there's nothing left in the Forbidden City anymore. So what I was mostly interested in was not so much the Forbidden City or the history, because I've, you know, sort of read about it before, wasn't that interested. I was really interested in what people are doing inside the Forbidden City. And there's a lot of people, especially Chinese, like domestic tourists, they love to dress up in fancy clothes. The kids are dressed up or they're dressed up. A lot of young ladies are dressed up in old style sort of, you know, gear that maybe the concubines or the princesses would have worn, no idea. And they take lots of selfies and their hair's all done very fancy. And so the next photo here, there are two ladies. It's just a shot from the back. One lady's wearing a beautiful pale pink, I'm about to say kimono, but that's Japanese, but it's a very pale pink sort of gown. And the other lady's wearing a pale blue one. And they've got fans and their hair's all nice and fancy. And they're just looking at their phone, reviewing their pictures that they took in the Forbidden City. So I really love that shot. And then the next image is one that was just bizarre. We were leaving the Forbidden City about an hour later and we were getting a bus somewhere to the next location. And while we're in the queue waiting for the bus, I just looked to the right and I saw these ladies, three ladies, hula hooping. I was like, this is weird. Like, if you said to me, you know, what's one thing that you're going to see at the Forbidden City? You know, I don't think hula hooping would have been up there with most answers. You know what I mean? But there was three ladies hula hooping. One was probably in her 50s and the other two were a bit younger. One was probably in her 30s. And so the next image there is two of the hula hoopers. The third hula hooper is just out of frame and you can see the shadow on the ground there. But I love this image. It's just so weird that these ladies were hula hooping. Good on them. I think it's fantastic. But that is probably one of my favorite shots of the entire trip.
Hey, have you signed up for my dad's photography newsletter? Check it out at mattlovescameras.substack.com. It features camera reviews, film reviews, and lots of travel photography. You can read it for free, but if you upgrade, you can instantly access 6 film photography zines in PDF format. How wonderful! Check it out now at mattlovescameras.substack.com.
The next image is from one of the compulsory shopping trips that you do. So when you do a cheap package deal, trip deal to China, I think they're kind of subsidized by the Chinese government. So you get the trip very cheap, but then they take you to these shopping outlets. So in our 8-night stay, I think there were 4 shopping trips. And so one of them was to the Chinese medicine factory. Now, let me just backtrack a little. The night before, we'd had a big day sightseeing and there was an option to get an in-room massage. I think it was like, I don't know, $30 or something like that. It wasn't too bad. And so my nephew said, yeah, I'll get one. So I said, okay, yeah, I'll get one as well. Fair enough. Because we've been walking, we've been up the Great Wall. We've got really sore legs from walking up the Great Wall. I didn't go the whole way. My nephew Harrison did though. And so we're like, yeah, okay, what the hell? We may as well just have a massage. And so these two masseuses arrived at the room. There's one guy and one girl. I think my nephew was a little shocked. There was a guy there and I think he imagined there was two ladies. Not that there's anything, you know, underwater weird going on. I think he just thought it would be a woman, but two women. And so when they said, who do you want us, you know, each to do massage? He said, I don't mind, I'll have the lady. So I got stuck with the guy, which again, you know, who cares? But, you know, I guess it was just a bit one of those weird sort of things that happened. And the guy had a very distinct haircut. He had like shaved sort of head, and then he had this really quite tall hair, head of hair on him. And of course, we left our boxer shorts on, dear listeners. This is not a nude massage or anything weird like that. There are, you know, nothing going on. That's, you know, no happy endings going on here, friends. This is just, you know, arms and legs and, you know, head massage and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, so I continue. The massage went for about an hour and a half. They did our feet. They had like a big plastic bag full of hot water from the bath with all these like tea. I don't know if it was tea or what it was in there, but it was something, some herbs. We had to soak our feet, and then they did our legs and did our arms and did our head and all this kind of stuff. Anyway, so yeah, I mean, it was fine. I mean, you know, some massages better than others. It was fine. It wasn't that relaxing. It was actually quite, I think this is probably more of a deep tissue one. I was kind of like, kind of aching sometimes when he was, you know, doing my arms and my legs. I was like, oh man, this is killing me. It's probably doing me good. So anyway, that went on the night before. So anyway, the next day we went sightseeing somewhere. Then we got to this Chinese traditional medicine place. The Chinese traditional medicine place is on the other side of Beijing. It's like an hour and 15 minutes, hour and a half drive away. And, you know, there's something like 25, 30 million people in Beijing. Anyway, so we go to this Chinese medicine place, and they give you a big talk about Chinese medicine and how amazing it is. And, you know, why take Western drugs when you can just take our Chinese medicine and you'll be healthier and all this kind of stuff. Anyway, while they were giving the talk, they said, we're gonna bring in these people to massage your feet. And I was like, oh no, we just had this last night. If I knew they're having this today, I wouldn't have, you know, had it last night. So they brought in like these, I think there's about 30 odd people on the trip. And so they brought in these like 30 masseuses, you know, to massage our feet. Anyway, I'm looking at the door, and all of a sudden this guy with shaved sort of sides of hair with really tall hair is in the doorway. And I said to my dad, I said, oh, I can't believe it. That's the guy who massaged me last night. I can't believe it. He's like, what? And I said, that's the same guy. It's the same guy from last night. You know, we're an hour and a half across town, 30 million people in this city, and there's the same guy here. Anyway, they all filtered into the room, and they all sort of had a, you know, they sort of went in rows, and they each took somebody. Of course, who did I get? You cannot make this up. Who did I get? I get the guy with the shaved head, the tall hair. Again, the second time in a row. I can't believe this. We're across town, 30 million people in the city, hour and a half away, and I end up with the same masseuse. I cannot believe it. So it was just bizarre. And I don't think he recognized me. I'm like, hi, hello. And he sort of looked at me, hello, sir. And I'm like, if last night you massaged me at the hotel last night. And then I think he remembered me, maybe because I had my glasses on, maybe because, I don't know, maybe white people look the same to him. I really don't know. But he didn't actually recognize me. So it was kind of awkward that I had the same masseur again. But he was a very good massage. He did massage my feet for the second time in, you know, 18 hours. It was all a bit strange and odd. But there you go. So this next photo, very long intro, but this next photo was in the reception of the Chinese medicine place. So I think almost everyone on the trip bought some kind of Chinese medicine to try. I didn't. I'm a very hard sell. And so I didn't buy anything. I was more interested in this beautiful scene in the reception here. You got some nice little windowsill and some plants and a nice big pot plant there. So I love the light here, and I love it on Kodak Color Plus. I think it looks absolutely magnificent. So that is that image there. The next image was from our last afternoon in Beijing. It is some chestnuts, and we went down this street, and we sort of had a couple hours to kill. We were supposed to go to like the Temple of Heaven, but it was closed for some reason. So it was like, oh, let's just go to a shopping street, and you can kill 2 hours looking around the shops. So that was a bit of a disappointment. And the main sort of set of shops were pretty sterile and boring. But you went in the back streets, and there was kind of cool restaurants and interesting things going on. And I love this scene here of these chestnuts sitting out on a couple of pink stools. So I really love the colors here, the pinks and the browns and the oranges there on Kodak Color Plus. Love that shot. That evening, we got the fast train down to Suzhou, which is in the south of China. It's about 1,000 kilometers from Beijing, and the train goes at 300 kilometers an hour, apparently. And so you'd think, okay, 1,000 kilometers, which is, I don't know, 650 miles, 1,000 kilometers, the train goes at 300 kilometers an hour. It's going to take just over 3 hours, right? That's my math, okay? No, it took 5.5 hours. I don't know how that happened, but it took 5.5 hours to get there. We were going pretty fast, and we weren't stopping that much. Like, there weren't that many stops along the way. So I don't know how it took 5.5 hours. The only conclusion I can draw is that the train doesn't actually go 300 kilometers an hour at all. Like, maybe there's a couple of sections where it gets up that fast, but the rest of the time it ain't going 300 kilometers an hour. And the train trip was kind of interesting. It was like a Japanese Shinkansen bullet train, but I don't think it was as nice. Everyone else loved the trip. I was like, this is just, you know, all the time I'm kind of ruining the trip for myself by comparing it to Japan friends, which is not a good thing to do. But I did have a whole row of three seats to myself. So, you know, I really should quit moaning. There was one section of the trip, though, just near sunset, when you look out the window and it's just this like orange glow of the haze of the pollution and these big modern towns, and there was a couple of chimneys spewing out smoke, and it just looked like some kind of apocalyptic nightmare, friends. It was not a great advert for China. I mean, generally, the air quality over there is not great. It's very hazy. My dad has some lung issues, and so he was having some trouble breathing. My asthma wasn't too bad, although a lot of people on the trip had a lot of sinus issues. I don't mean to be vulgar, friends, but it's basically, I think, because a lot of people's noses, and obviously their throats, they're breathing in all the dust and pollution and whatever, but also a lot of people's noses were getting clogged up with the fine particles of pollution from the air, and they were getting lots of, you know, lots of boogers, friends. I can't think of any other way to put it than that. So then that evening we arrived down in Suzhou in the south of China. And yeah, it was nice. There was a bit, everyone was a bit happier to sort of get down to the slightly warmer southern bit of China, and stayed in a nice hotel. And then the next day we went to a place called the Lingering Garden. Now, the Lingering Garden was a pretty cool place. Lots of little buildings and lots of gardens, little sort of lakes and bridges and stuff. I mean, the whole problem was there was about 5 busloads of tourists there, and there was just so many people there that, it was kind of, would have been lovely if it would just been a handful of people. But with the crush of people visiting these kind of attractions, it's not overly, you know, zen or anything like that. But this next image here is from the Lingering Garden. There's these beautiful kind of roses growing, and in the background you've got some pot plants, and I really like this. It looks like it's been shot maybe at f4 or something like that. It was kind of bright, but it wasn't overly bright. So I think the Stylus Epic there has shot that, I reckon, around f4. And it looks very nice. The next image is from yet another of the shopping trips that we did. This time we went to a silk factory in Suzhou, and it was actually really cool. It was my favorite shopping trip because they showed us silkworms and the little cocoons, and they showed us silk, and we stretched some silk out and had a good time. And then, of course, the final bit, they take you into a room and do the hard sell and try and sell you silk sheets and silk pillowcases and silk duvet covers and silk undies and silk socks and anything you can think of that's made of silk, they try and sell you. And again, I think I was one of the only people who didn't buy anything, but I had a good time looking around the big showroom with all the silk stuff. And I actually went outside in the sunshine and took some photos once again while people were finishing up making their purchases. And just near the entrance, there was a lady who pulled up on a scooter with a pink helmet. And that is the next photo there. I really like that. There's actually some photos I took on digital of this image that look probably better because she didn't have, in this image on film, she has her hand up to her face. In the other ones, she's just texting somebody or something on her phone. I think the digital ones look slightly better composition wise. But there you go. That is the lady on the scooter there. From the Jade Factory, we then set off, and we were going to the sort of historic town of Suzhou, where there's these canals and old markets and stuff like that. I can't remember exactly what happened, but all I know is on the bus trip to the river trip, the boat trip, and to the city markets, I was in a really bad mood. I think it was because I wasn't feeling particularly well. I had a headache. I was sitting at a place on the bus where I was like right under one of the speakers, and our tour guide was talking the whole time, and she was very loud, and the volume of her microphone in the bus was cranked up, and I was just getting this splitting headache. Luckily, I'd actually kept a couple of earplugs from the plane, and I put them in, but even so, I could hear every word. It was still very, very loud. And so by the time we got to the boat trip, I was not in the best of moods. We went along this boat trip along the canal, and then we got out in the sort of the city center, I suppose you could say, of Suzhou, the old city center, and we got told that we had like an hour and a half free time, which was great. I just wanted to head off by myself and take some photos and try and get myself out of a bad mood. And I'm glad to say that it worked perfectly. Whenever I'm in a bad mood or I'm stressed or I'm anxious or whatever, I find just going for a walk by myself with a camera and, yeah, you know, not all of the world's problems are solved, friends, but I certainly find that does help me and helps me sort of, I don't know, put things in perspective and just feel a bit better. The first thing I actually did when I left the group, I went straight to a cafe, ordered a flat white coffee. It was actually very nice. It was expensive though, like a flat white coffee in China was about $8 Australian. I mean, in Australia, they're about $4.50, $5. $8 for a coffee in China. Espresso coffee, very, very expensive. But it was a very nice one. Had a couple of paracetamol. And yeah, I was walking down the streets of Suzhou in the markets. Now, the first sort of bit of the markets is kind of very touristy, lots of souvenirs. I mean, they're very nice souvenirs, but, you know, very touristy kind of stuff. Then the further on you got into the markets, it was like the more local the markets actually become and more sort of, you know, real earthy people you found. So this is where I did a majority of my sort of photography as I walked down into the markets. And the next image here was way down into the markets. I'd already taken a whole load of photos of eggs and fruit and vegetables and people selling books and all sorts of things. And then just as I was walking past, there was a game of cards startup on a table in the sunshine on the street. And I thought this was wonderful. And so the next image here, you can see, I guess there must be six Chinese gentlemen in the image here, although there's four of them playing cards. And one's got a cigarette in his mouth. Another one's got his cigarettes on the table. And they've all got their cards there. And yeah, I really love this image. I actually took quite a lot of images of the card game all up. I probably took, I think on every single camera I had with me, I took images of this card game. Absolutely love this. The locals were kind of laughing at me a little bit, like, why is this crazy white guy taking photos of the card game? But I really, really like this image. So that is the card game in Suzhou. And then the last image I'm going to talk to you about, friends, is the canal. So just around the corner, you know, Suzhou is known for its canals and boats and stuff like that. And so around the corner, I went down the canal for a little bit. And there is a couple of houses here. It must be washing day because there are loads of, you know, clothes out on washing lines bordering the canal. And there's a bit of a nice breeze there. So hopefully they were dry that evening. So there you go. There are 10 images I shot with the Olympus Stylus Epic in China on Kodak Color Plus 200. So I hope you enjoyed those descriptions of the images. Of course, you can check them out at mattlovescameras.substack.com and look for the post that is entitled Kodak Color Plus in China. And the sort of sub-headline is Much Frugal Film Project Results Shot on the Olympus Stylus Epic. And of course, if you're listening to this months after I've recorded and published this episode, just go to the top of my Substack and click on Frugal Film 2024 and you'll see all, you know, January, February, March, and hopefully all of the rest of the frugal film results to come in 2024. That reminds me, it's already like the 20th of April today. And I haven't even loaded the film in for my April roll. So yeah, 10 days left of April. I'm not sure actually what I'm going to do, but I better get out there very soon and shoot my frugal film project roll for April. It's actually really sunny and beautiful here today, but it's going to rain the rest of the weekend. So I'm not sure exactly what I'm going to shoot, but I feel like I'm just going to go shoot it in one day. You know what I mean? And just get it out of the way and shoot the whole roll in one day. But we will see. Now, of course, if you do check out those photos on my Substack, if you go right to the bottom of that post, Kodak Color Plus in China, there is a link to the video version of this podcast. So I talk through about 20 images that I shot. So some of these images, or all of these images I talk about in the podcast, plus I talk about a few more. Obviously, I don't talk about them quite as much detail as I have here. I've included quite a few of the weird and funny stories that happened on the trip. So hopefully you didn't fall asleep. So hopefully none of you are operating heavy machinery and you know, fell asleep and whatever. So yeah, I hope you've enjoyed this episode. It's actually a bit of a special day today. It's the 20th of April. I've just realized it is my 2-year anniversary for being on YouTube, friends. 2 years on YouTube to the day that I released my first video. So yeah, that is a very special day for me. It's been a bit of a grind making YouTube videos. I think I've made 76 videos all up. up. That includes some short videos, but most of them are long form ones. So if you haven't checked it out yet, if you've been a long time listener of Matt Loves Cameras, I would really appreciate it if you check it out, you give me a subscribe and throw me a few likes and a few comments. Of course, on my YouTube and on my Substack, it's not just film, it's film and digital, because I do like film and digital. I like everything really to do with cameras, especially compact cameras, which is why I chose the Olympus Stylus Epic for the Frugal Film Project in 2024. That's it for this episode. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'll be doing another one very soon, actually. I also took the Contax G1 with me to China, and I'll be doing an episode about my Contax G1 shots, and also doing a video, of course, as well. So, yeah, I hope you've enjoyed this. Take care, my friends, and I will see you next time. Bye-bye.
Ruin that, but it actually sounded pretty good.
Why, thank you.
Oh, okay. Is it coffee? It does.
Yup.
Come on.